So very thankful to be with all of you again this morning. And as our beloved brother Raven prayed, I certainly trust that the Lord will continue to abide with us. And if so, we'll be very, very grateful. I've greatly enjoyed this meeting. In spite of me being the one preaching, I've enjoyed being with y'all. And I can say this about Trail Branch Church, and I think it's one of the best things you can say about a church, is that I feel at home among you. And I feel that the Lord is blessing you. I certainly do appreciate your pastor and his family very much, and feel like Brother Stephen and I have a lot in common. We've agreed. I haven't found anything yet that he's wrong on, and if he's found anything on me, he hadn't told me yet. But we have just had a wonderful time, and Brother Stephen and Sister Angel, may God richly bless you. Thank you for your hospitality. If I can do anything for you, you just let me know. I certainly will be in prayer for all of you, and I ask that you would pray for me as well. I have a subject on my mind, and I'm always fearful that y'all may have heard me preach on this before. My memory just not as good as it used to be. So if you have heard me on this, then just act like you haven't, and we'll be all right. It's like my older brother Mike, who's a minister, says, well, if half the church has already heard you on that, that means the other half hasn't, so just preach to the better half. So that's what he does. It worked for him. I don't know if it worked so much for me. But I would like to turn to the second chapter of the Gospel according to John. And I have studied this last year, and I haven't thought about it for a while. It came back this morning, and I trust that it's of the Lord. If not, we'll find out soon enough. This is John chapter 2, and we will begin reading in the very first verse. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Mary has always been one of my favorite characters in the Scriptures. I feel like she gets a lot of bad press, and her life has been misapplied by some. And I know some people almost elevate her to a god, and that they actually would pray to her and such like. I think Mary would be very upset about that. If that was reported to her in life, I think I don't think she would care for that at all. But on the other hand, I think sometimes primitive Baptists go the other way with her, and we just enforce the fact that she was a sinner and not look upon the wonderful attributes that she had. I know I've been guilty of that. Yeah. Certainly she was a sinner, but as her cousin Elizabeth said of her, blessed art thou among women. And I believe among all women that has ever lived, Mary was the most blessed of all, because she was chosen of God to bear his only begotten son. Yeah. And I believe that they had a relationship that transcended any other relationship except the Lord Jesus and his Father himself. There was a special bond and a special understanding between them that none of us will ever know. One thing I appreciate about Mary is that she took it very seriously, the role that she was called upon. She called herself the handmaiden of the Lord, the servant of God. Whatever the Lord would have her to do, Mary was very quick and very willing to do it. And she took a responsibility even over her son, though he was the Messiah. Her role as a mother was certainly foremost in her mind. In this case here, as they are attending this wedding, she noticed that they had run out of wine. You know, I remember my mother being a minister's wife and a minister's daughter. And now she's the mother of three preachers. But growing up in my mother and father's house, she was very conscious of the fact that she brought four boys with her to meeting. And especially at lunchtime, she would eyeball and notice how much dinner was there. And if there wasn't enough, she got us all in the corner and she said, you just get one helping and one helping only. And if we snuck, I remember one time I snuck one cookie and she noticed it and I got in big trouble. She had eyes in the back of her head. She had eyes on the top of her head. She had eyes in her right and left hand. I couldn't get away with anything. But she said, now you just don't eat that much. They don't have that much. You need to be understanding about that. And here is the case here with Mary, the mother of Christ. She noticed this, and she was conscious of the fact that she had brought a large family to this wedding. Not only the Lord, but the Lord's disciples. And I do believe that Mary had other children beside the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Scriptures will prove that she had five other sons and many daughters. And so she brought at least about 15 or 16 people to this wedding. And noticing the fact that they'd run out of wine, she went to her son and informed him of that fact. They have no wine. Now this would be like today in modern days if we went to a wedding and they forgot the wedding cake. To me, why even go to a wedding if they don't have any wedding cake? That's just the way I am. I'll put up with you may kiss the bride and all your love and all your romance, but you better give me cake at the end of it or I'm going to be a little bit upset. If I went to your wedding and you didn't serve me wedding cake, I'm going to take you aside and talk to you about it. So that's the same thing here in this case. They have no wine. They have no wine. And in this statement making to her son, she was implying, you need to do something about it. Now listen to what the Lord said to her response. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I read this one time to my boys, and I said, don't you ever talk to your mother like this. Don't ever talk to her like this. I can imagine the trouble I would get into if my mother told me to do something, and I would say, well, woman, that's it. I'm already in trouble right now. Amen. If my dad heard about that, I'd be in worse trouble. What have I to do with thee? She'd say, well, I don't know, but I know what I'm going to do with thee. Yes, sir. You say, well, Brother Montgomery, why would Jesus talk to his mother like that? Because Jesus was the Lord God Almighty. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He created the heavens and the earth. He was God. None of us can make that claim, which gives us an insight, though how to understand it, I know not. The relationship between Mary and Jesus. She was his mother, but he was her Lord. She was his mother, but he was her creator. She was his mother, but he was her Savior. Amen. Now, we understand that existed, but how that must have felt, I don't know. I believe that there was an understanding between them. And so when he speaks to her like this, it's not a son speaking to his mother, but it's the Lord talking to a servant. Basically, he's saying, I am not ready to reveal who I am at this moment. But notice what Mary says next. In verse 5, he said, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, that's a good mother for you. You know, I'm 53 years old. But if I messed up, I'm still getting a lecture from my 79-year-old mother. All right? Your mother never stops being your mother. And why would you ever want her to stop? And if some of you young folks are complaining about it, one of these days you would give anything to hear your mother's voice again. Amen. I know some of you would just give anything to hear your blessed mother speak one more time. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It's up to the Lord now. It's up to the Lord's will. If he says nothing, then they do nothing. But if he says to do something, whatever it is, that they are to do. You know, that's a good answer to every question we have in life. You may say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Well, whatsoever he says, do it.
Amen.
You may say, well, am I supposed to join the church? Whatsoever he says, do it. I'm pretty sure the answer is yes. I'm pretty sure that he wants you to. As a matter of fact, I'm going to encourage you to do it. You may say, am I called to preach? Whatsoever he saith. Do you feel he's called you to preach? Then preach. You'll find that out. You'll understand that. Whatsoever, whatever is in his will, do it. You cannot go wrong doing what the Lord says. But where I go wrong is doing what I say, what I want, what my thoughts are. That's where I make mistakes. And so therefore, it's good that we listen to the leadership of the Lord in all things in life. What to do with our career, what to do with our marriage, what to do with our children, what to do with our church life. Whatever decision, it's always good to run it by the Lord and pray until you get an answer.
Amen.
Just keep praying till you get an answer. Do you know why Paul prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh? And you know why he didn't pray 4 times? Because he got an answer on the 3rd prayer. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient to thee. Pray until you get an answer. Elijah prayed 7 times for it to rain. You know why he didn't pray 8 times? Because he got the answer on the 7th time. And I looked at what Elijah got, and I would have kept on praying. But Elijah saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, and he said, that is enough. He recognized when the Lord answered, and that's good. That's good. I know a lot of people keep praying, but they've already got the answer. I can show you a case in the Scriptures where Peter was in prison, and they were having a prayer meeting praying that the Lord would release him from prison. When he's knocking on the door, they didn't believe it. Don't be too busy praying that you miss God's answer. When you get God's answer, pray a prayer of thanksgiving.
Amen.
See, I'm still looking. You've already got the answer. You already know what it is. It's just probably not the answer you wanted. That's my case. When the Lord answers, take it, go with it, and thank Him for it. Or whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And so here's what they did. Jesus told them, He said, and there were 6 water pots of water, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And then the Scriptures tell us that this was the first miracle. Let me just read it. This is this beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. So this was the first miracle that our Lord did in His earthly ministry. This was not the first miracle He ever did. The first miracle He ever did was create everything out of nothing. That's a pretty good trick, wouldn't you know it? All right, you know the only thing you and I can create is a mess. That's the only thing we can create. Some people say He's creative. Yeah, He just creates a mess. Somebody may be artistic, but only God is creative. Every time somebody's born again, that's a great miracle. Every time God lifts a man to preach, that's a miracle. Every time you hear a sermon and rejoice, that's a miracle. My friends, there is more miracles that go on than we're aware of. God is very much with us. But this, in His earthly ministry, was the first one that He did, where He took 6 water pots of water and somehow changed it in the wine. There's several things I want to notice about this. First of all, that there was the wine that they provided had run out. My friends, if you're trying to get to heaven on your own works, you ain't got enough. If you're trying to get to heaven on your righteousness, you don't have enough. But our Lord Jesus Christ has more than enough. As a matter of fact, it's enough to save every one of His people without the loss of one. There is enough wine that He provided for everybody. Everybody that He desires to save is saved. He's not waiting on you to accept Him. He's already accepted you. My friends, He don't wait for us. We're waiting upon Him. We have been accepted in the Beloved. He's not up there in heaven just worried about us. He's already got it all fixed up. He declared the end from the beginning. Alright, so there was enough for everybody. Everybody had enough to go on, and this was provided by the Lord Himself. If we're going to have a good meeting, God's going to have to provide the Spirit. All right, I can study, I can pray, I can meditate, but when it comes right down to it, God's got to bless. We ought to pray for our meetings, but when it comes down to it, God has to meet with us. And I tell you what, when He does, it's the best you'll ever have. All right, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. The only miracle mentioned in four scriptures and four gospels is when Jesus took five loaves of bread and two fish and fed over 5,000 people. And there was more left over than when they started with. Alright? There was more left over. Isn't that the way it is with meetings like this? You come in empty and you leave full. And you've got basketfuls to bless you next week. Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You may hear something in this meeting that may not bless you right now, but you may need it later. Don't forget it. You may be, oh, I'm just so full I can't take anymore. Well, just take it home with you. You'll need it tomorrow. All right, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be just wonderful every day next week. I'm just going to keep this spirit alive every day next week. I guarantee you, Monday afternoon, I'm going to need some of this stuff. Maybe by Monday morning. Who knows? I'm staying with Brother Philip, so I don't know. I may need it Sunday night for all that left. But anyway, y'all tell him I said that, by the way. At any rate, all right, you may hear a sermon this weekend that may not affect you. I guarantee you, it may be necessary down the road. You gather it up. Gather it up. There may be a song you sung all your life, and it just may come crashing down on me, and you say, man, that song was written just for me. That's gathering up the fragments. That's a handful of purpose that the Lord has brought to us. God He just takes care of us, doesn't He? Yes. Even when we think we're just facing a calamity all alone, God is carrying us. We may think that nobody's endured this. Guess what? Our Lord has endured all things, and my beloved, because He persevered, we don't have to. That didn't sound right, but I know exactly what I meant. Because He fought the hard battle, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. All right, so we ought to do the best that we can. All right, now everybody had this wine provided for them, but not everybody knew where it came from. You don't have to know the source of redemption to be saved. You don't have to know the Lord for the Lord to know you. He foreknew you before the foundation of the world. He loved you before you ever loved Him. He loved you when you were dead in trespasses and in sins. But isn't it good to know the source of our salvation? And if you want to know it, you want to know how to get it, the only people that knew were the servants. If you want to know the Lord, then serve the Lord. It's not about us. It's for us. But it's not about us. It's about serving Him. That's the best life you'll ever have. Yes, go to school. Get a career. Yes, do things that are necessary. But above all, serve the Lord. Put Him first in all things. You know why marriages fail? Because somebody's putting themselves first. instead of the Lord. You want to know why your life is lonely? Because you put yourself first. My beloved, you can't go wrong when you follow the Lord and do just what He says. When you do that, no matter what happens in this life, I promise you, He will take care of you and you will be happy. But take a step down and lose yourself and embrace the Lord. He knows what you're going through. He knew what I was going through. He knew the fire that I was going through. He knew the loneliness that I felt. He knew the disappointment that I had when life just went awry and didn't go according to the script and I was brought low. He understood that. And He said, just follow Me and I'll take care of you. And I promise you, I'm living proof of the grace of Almighty God. Life can get that bad and it can all of a sudden get that good. I'm living proof of it. Don't wallow in self-pity. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord. The servants knew. But the governor didn't. And he said, why, they bring out the good at first. And then later on, that which is worse. But you've kept the good one. That's how the Lord works. You know, the best meeting I've ever gone to is the last meeting I've ever gone to. Now, that's not the best meeting I'll ever go to. That's coming up yonder in glory. But the best meeting I've ever been to is right now. Right now. This is the best meeting. And they get tired about it. When I come home, they say, well, how was the meeting? I say, oh, it's the best meeting I've ever been to. Yeah, you say that all the time. But it's true. When the Lord is with us, that's the best meeting. He just keeps the good wine until now. I joined the church when I was 15 years old. I'd been wanting to join since I was 10. But I finally just got enough nerve and walked up to the front. And I was baptized with my youngest brother in Little Vine Primitive Baptist Church in Austin, Texas. I was baptized by the best man I've ever met, Elder Hugh Montgomery, my father. I remember before we went in, he said, boys, you've made me so happy. I can still remember being lowered in the water. And when I came up and I looked at the church, I saw the smiles on their faces. They just shone like angels. And I remember thinking, this is the best moment of my life ever. I don't think it could ever get any better than this. I was wrong. It got better. It immediately got better. There's something about it. You think I can, get the food and the gospel food and I don't need to be baptized and whatnot. You're fooling yourself. Give that back to the devil. He's given that to you. You ought to follow the Lord. And He said, be baptized. And I'm telling you this. I've resisted it. And when I finally couldn't stand it anymore and did what I wanted to do, what I should have done, church just got even better. The sermons got shorter. I still don't know how that happened. The benches got softer. The meetings got sweeter. The singing was fantastic. And I remember thinking, it just keeps getting better. I can fill 2 hours of experiences that I've had in meetings with the Lord. Sweet, wonderful, sublime moments in the kingdom of God and with the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ from all over this country. I just got to tell you one. This has stayed with me for many years. We were in a meeting in California. We're having communion feet washing, and the brethren over there, we were washing feet, and we all of a sudden we heard a song coming from the other side of the church. And the sisters began to sing in the sweet by and by as they washed each other's feet. And there are some strong men and World War II vets there. And the tears just came out of their eyes. And I think there are more tears in that feet washing water than there was water. We just had to stop and think how wonderful this moment was. And time just stood still. You can't get that out in the world, my friends. You may get entertained. You may laugh. But there's nothing like that except in the house of God. So many other times. I remember one time I thought I just didn't preach a lick in the room. And a little boy came to me just a few years ago, and he says, "Brother Montgomery, that was the best sermon I've ever heard preached." That's when I started giving kids $5. I gave a little boy $5 this weekend. He told me I preached good. See, I paid good money for that. And all these other kids were, I can see the wheels turning these kids' heads. I'll write you a check. How about that? I mean, I was too scared of preachers growing up to say something like that to them. And this little boy at that moment, well, I just felt like I just should ought to give it up to say that to me. Friends, you can't get that anywhere except the house of God. And it keeps getting better. And I think it's just, my goodness, he just the good wine. He just gives us the best. And he gives us exactly what we need. But my friends, there's coming a day. There is coming a day when even meetings like this will pale in comparison. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. When we are with the saints of God in an immortal and incorruptible body. Oh, what a day that will be.
Amen.
The things that we will see. The feeling that we will have. The joys that we'll know on that eternal day will surpass anything ever. And I believe that we will say, "Lord, you've kept the good wine until now. The best is yet to come, my friends." I know that we've had golden moments in life. Moments with our family. Moments with our parents, with our children, with our grandchildren, with one another. We've sang the sweet songs of Zion together. We've heard the best news from a far country preach. We've shaken each other's hand and hugged each other's neck. We've been comforted when we've been in despair. We've come to church just thinking that nothing's going right and just leave, just praising God. Ah, my friends, we've got a lot to be thankful for just in the house of God. But my beloved, this is not all that's to come. Something greater is coming on that eternal day when Jesus comes back and takes us home to glory. The best is yet to come. Ah, what a day that will be. That day He promised to come. And He always keeps His promises. His last words in the Scriptures is, "Behold, I come quickly." That's a promise of His coming. And I tell you, this world, it just seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. But the gospel shines brighter and brighter the darker it gets. The church is a city set on a hill, and it shines the brighter the darker it gets. And my friends, I believe that just when we think, I just don't know what we're going to do, I believe, my friends, look up, because our Lord's coming. He is coming. It's nearer than we think. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know He will come, and I will see Him. I will stand. I will stand in the air. I will meet Him up there. I will see Him as He is. I'll be just like Him. I'll be just like Him. And my beloved, I'll hear His voice, and He'll say, "Come in." I love it when I will go to people's house and they say, "Just come right on in." He's going to say, "Come on in. Home. The door is open. Your home awaits that I prepared for you. Come in, ye blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you." My beloved, the best is yet to come. I trust that we've had a good meeting this weekend. But there's a better one coming. I trust we've had some good singing this weekend. Just imagine the singing up yonder. I trust that we've been comforted this weekend. But just imagine when we're like Him and feel like Him and no cares and no death. No sorrow, no parting, no disappointment. None of that at all, my beloved. But all is peace and love. I can't wait. I'd rather go there than San Antonio, Texas. I'd rather do that than get a plate of good Mexican food. I tell you what, my beloved, what a day that will be. He's kept the good wine. It's in reserve. It's in store. But what we're getting right now is just a little bit of it. It's just the earnest of it. It's just saying this will keep you going until that day comes. And it is sufficient. And I do believe that the more we seek after it, the more blessed we are in this life. But I'm very happy to tell you that that eternal inheritance is not dependent upon your faithfulness here in time, but it's completely dependent upon the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And His name is faithful and true. And He doesn't lie. And He always keeps His promises. And when He says, "I come quickly," I guarantee you, you will see Him come. We may miss meetings in life, but that's one meeting you'll never miss.
Amen.
All seats are going to be full. All safe. All is well. All is peace. All is love. What a day that will be. I can talk about that until the Lord comes back. As a matter of fact, I plan to do just that. I'll talk about that until the Lord takes me home or He comes and takes me home. I don't know. But we've got a lot to look forward to, my beloved. And we have a lot to be happy about right now. The Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. And He knows what we need of before we ask. He'll take care of us. And He's kept the good wine. He's giving it a little bit right now, but just wait till that day. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. I'd like to stay here for a long time, but maybe I'll come back. Y'all come see me in Texas, and we'll have a good time then. May the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.